Pastor Ray Bentley reminds us why we can place our full faith and trust in the Lord.
There's only one person who knows everything, and that's God. And in every way and in every detail, God does what is right. You will learn again and again and again and again, the character of God is impeccable. He's always right.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's hard to know who to trust. Can we trust the news? Can we trust our friends? Can we trust ourselves? We all need an anchor, something we can trust to hold us in the storms of life, someone who's always true. And today, Pastor Ray says we'll find what we're looking for in our Heavenly Father. Let's listen.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. We've got four life lessons here this morning as we go through the study that we'll look at the text here in just a moment. But life, all of life, is a school teaching us about the character of God. All of the things that you and I will experience, all the things that we will go through in life, have this purpose in mind. God wants you to know what He is like. He wants to reveal to you through your circumstances, to come through for you, to bless you, to come through your circumstances so that you go, wow, God, you are amazing. I have not just the God, creator of the universe, I have a Father. The beautiful gift that has been given to us as believers is the kind of relationship we have with God, Almighty God, Creator God, is a Father. And we know Him as a Father. And we are so greatly beloved as His children. Truly, all of us here this morning are the apple of His eye. And He wants us to grow up, to be like Him. His character is the future of your character. It is our destiny. It's what He desires for us. Now, chapter 32, verse 1. Let's read the first four verses. Moses says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the raindrops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He." So here's God has told Moses, "I want you to go to the tabernacle of meeting with Joshua. And speaking from the cloud of glory, the Lord taught Moses and Joshua a song." So actually, Deuteronomy chapter 32 is called the Song of Moses. We don't have the melody. I can imagine that God provided the melody. I would love to know what the melody was, but it's a song. And in the song that God, as a father, taught Moses and Joshua, He said, "Teach this song to the children of Israel so that when they go into the land, they'll sing it." And embedded into the song that God taught them was a blessing of the Father over them, you know, and it was also a prophecy about their future. I want to say, I'm going to throw this in here, as parents of those of you that have children or you have younger, I don't know, nieces, nephews, young people that work for you, whatever, we are called to bless the next generation and to be intentional about it. That's the way God works. We bless the younger generation, we bless the next generation, and we share with them hope and we share with them a future, and we share with them a trust in them that everything God has promised for them, He will bring to pass. So it's to be shared with a passion and a heart. I love you, son. And you have incredible gifts and talents, and you have a glorious future. Oh, daughter, the hand of the Lord is upon your life. God is going to use you in great and mighty ways. And so that's what God was doing as a father with his children, and he is using Moses and Joshua to do this. Now, as he begins to bless them and kind of prophesy their destiny and their future, the Lord tells the children of Israel, hey, you're going to go into the land in just a little couple of weeks, and you're going to prosper in the craziest way. You are going to explode with prosperity because it's a promised land. Every time you put the shovel into the soil and you plant a plant, it's going to grow. You put seed in the ground, it's going to grow. It's going to bear fruit. It's going to yield harvest. You're going to become wealthy because as a father, God loves his kids, and you know, parents tend to spoil their kids. And how many of you are okay with God spoiling you? Okay, no problem, right? But then God tells the children of Israel, however, you're going to rebel against me. Down the road, because I love you, I'm going to prosper you. You're going to fall in love with the prosperity. Your heart's going to be lifted up with pride, and you're going to forget me, that I'm the one that blessed you, and I'm the one that gave you all this prosperity, and you will turn away from me, and you'll fall in love with other gods. You will betray me, and you will enter into worshiping other idols and other gods. So God tells them this right from the beginning. I know this is what you guys are going to do. You're going to go in, you're going to prosper. Then you're going to fall in love with yourself, and you're going to follow other gods. And then I'm going to allow outside nations to come in and kind of beat up on you. And when they do, you're going to cry out for deliverance. And because I love you, I'm going to come, and I am going to deliver you. And you're going to repent and return to me. And then when I do that, I'm going to bless you all over again. Does any of this sound familiar? A nation that started with God, that became so radically prosperous, but forgot the God who brought the prosperity, and then has to go through difficult times and to come back to the Lord. Now, Moses calls heaven and earth to witness his words. So he's prophesying over them, and I think what's interesting is he does not call for God to bring storms. Lord, they're going to turn against you, so bring storms against them. Notice exactly what he says in verse 2. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. I think this is very beautiful because what Moses says is the blessing of the Father is like a continuous, gentle shower of rain. And so he doesn't say, I'm going to bring a storm and shake you all. He says, I'm going to just keep raining. The word of God, the will of God is just going to be like a gentle rain. And listen, that gentle rain will break through eventually your hard hearts. And it will soften the soil of your heart, and you will repent. I will plant the seed of my character within you, and it shall grow and blossom just as I always intended for it to do. What is more powerful? What's stronger? Let's put it this way. Water or a rock? Well, let me ask, how many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? Let me see how many have been to the Grand Canyon. Have you seen what water? Yeah, water is, you know, you can splash it, you can put your hand in it. It's very pliable, and a rock is hard. But with time, when water is channeled into a small place, water can literally, in time, cut and divide rock and bring, as it were, a canyon. And what God is saying is, your hearts are stony, but my word is like water. It's like a shower that is continuous and never abates, and it's going to cut through your heart, and my character is going to be formed in your lives, and it will produce fruit, ultimately, that I always desired. So I love this. We're to speak truth in love. So I love the balance. The gentle rain of God's word is like truth in love. It's the best way to teach God's word. It's the best way to pass on God's word to the next generation. So learning the character of God is the most important lesson in the school of life. Is learning, so God, you know, as he says here in verse 4, he is the rock. Have you found the Lord to be your solid rock? His work is perfect. Everything God does is perfect. All his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. I love that. You know, here's what can happen. Here's what the enemy does when we go through life and we're trying to learn about God and trying to learn about the character of God, and what the devil comes and whispers to us is, hey, you know what? God's not really fair. Look what he's done. He's left you hanging here, and he left those people. He's not saying anything. And, you know, God is not just. God is not righteous. God is not fair. And sometimes, with our limited understanding, we don't know everything. God does know everything. Okay? So we can make wrong conclusions about ourselves, about life, and about the character of God, because we don't know the whole story. How many times have you been in a situation where you hear one side of the story, you immediately jump in, and you go, hey, this, and you challenge someone, and all of a sudden they go, hey, wait a second. Did you know that this happened? No, I didn't. Did you know then that also happened? No, I didn't know that. Did you know that someone, so-and-so said this, that? No, I didn't know that. And all of a sudden, as you hear about these things you didn't know about, and what people said that you had no knowledge of, you had, with limited knowledge, made a judgment about a situation that in the end was totally wrong. Has that ever happened to anybody? Well, look, there's only one person who knows everything, and that's God. And he's not guessing. And in every way and in every detail, God does what is right. God does what is fair. God does what is just. God does what is true. You will learn again and again and again and again, the character of God is impeccable. He's always right. You and I can trust in him. Can I hear an amen on that? When, you know, everything gets wrapped up in the end, it'll be clear, and we see it from God's perspective, that he did the right thing every single time. Okay, let's move on to the next life lesson. We must undergo many tests to grow from one level to the next. This is a way of describing the Christian life. Just like when you're a baby, you go through stages of physical growth, mental growth, emotional growth, growth in stature, and all the rest of it. So also, spiritually, did you know that God wants us to grow to full maturity, and in the end, he wants our character to be like that of Jesus Christ. So in order for us to grow, here's what God does. He tests us. He will test you. He will challenge you, and in the test, you will learn something. You'll learn about his character, and you will also, you'll have to grow to experience what it is that God is wanting to bring you into. So beginning with verse 5, in verse 5 it says, they have corrupted themselves, they are not his children, because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? He redeemed them out of Egypt on Passover night. Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. when the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam. He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel, for the Lord's portion is his people. God, his portion, meaning his, what he values, is you and me, his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Verse 10, he found him in the desert land, down in Egypt, and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. And then he encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The word apple there means pupil, the most sensitive part of the eye. And it means my eye, the most sensitive part of me, is always looking to you, Jacob, always looking to the 12 tribes of Israel, always looking upon my people and my children, the apple of his eye. Verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. And there was no foreign God with him. He made him ride in the heights of the earth that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle, milk of the flock, with fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the choicest wheat, and you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. So here he's talking about all that I've done here, and I've brought you through many, many tests. And I love how he says, you know, in the context of giving us tests, in verse 11, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, verse 11, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him. Now, I love I love nature, and I love, you know, the whole animal kingdom, and I especially love eagles. And God is telling Israel, so to test you, so that you grow, and so that you grow up, and so that I can bless you more as you learn more of your identity and then enter into more of your character, being like me, your father. Here's how I do it. I do it just like a mother eagle does it in nature with her little eaglets. So here's the deal. The mother eagles will make a nest up in the top of a tree at the top of the mountain, or in a craggy rock or a crevice up at the top of the mountain. And then each day the mother eagle soars, goes out, provides, you know, gets food, comes back, and the little eaglet, you know, they just sit there and they lift their little fuzzy heads. And then mom drops in food every day, and then they have eating, and they're in this warm cocoon, feathery, nice little protect, and they've got a great 360-degree view up on the top of the mountain, right? But then one day, as they are growing up and developing feathers, because they must learn to fly themselves in order to survive, one day the mother eaglet, as he's stretching and he goes, yeah, mom, go out, give me some more food. And, you know, he's kind of gets near the edge of the nest. She goes like that and throws him out of the nest. And the eaglet goes hurtling down to the rocks below. And the eagle is falling and tumbling, flapping its little wings. It doesn't know how to fly, somersaulting to the rocks below. Now, the mother is calmly circling this little, it's got to be shocking to the eaglet. Mom, you're trying to kill me. You just fed me, and now you kill me. And he's going down. But then the mother, you know, comes around, and then she swoops in, catches a little eaglet on the back of her neck, and then, and he's going, and then comes back up into the nest and drops him into the nest. And now he's looking at her like, you gonna do that again? Oh yeah, she's gonna do it again. She bounces him out when he's not looking. And again, he goes down. She will fly down and catch him. But all of a sudden, one time, as she pushes him out and he goes flailing down, he gets mad and he sticks out one of his little eagle wings and he catches a little air and starts going to the right. He goes, hey, not bad. Then he puts out his other wing. He goes, he starts going the other way. Then he puts both of his wings out. And then one day, the mother eagle comes down and never rescues, because that little eagle spreads its wings and now begins to fly, has developed the strength and can fly on its own. Now, God says, that's exactly what I'm going to do with you guys. My kids, you're in a nice place. You're in a comfortable place. It's warm and fuzzy and it's just cool. And then God stirs up the nest and kicks you out. I wonder if that's ever happened to you. I wonder if it's maybe happened to someone just recently. And what is God doing? Well, this is how God deals with us. We get fat and happy in a pleasant little rut, and everything is comfortable and smooth, but then God stirs up our nest. He bounces us out, and he wants us ultimately to learn to fly. I love this picture of the eagle, wings spread. Why would God kick me out of a comfortable place? Because he knows it's time for me to grow. He knows I have new things I need to experience, new levels I need to go to. I need to learn to spread my wings and fly by faith. And so here you get kicked out, you're going down, you think, it's all over, I'm going to be wiped out. And God rescues you and he brings you back. But he's doing it for a reason. He knows what he is doing, just like the mother eagle. And it's a beautiful picture, it's an illustration. Everything in nature has a spiritual corollary, by the way. We don't like that God does this in the middle of things. We do not like being disturbed, but it is God's way of helping our growth and development. And once you've learned to fly, the little eaglet can never go back. Now he can go out and get his own food. So the next time your plans are disturbed or God knocks you out of your comfortable nest, do not panic. You are just about ready to fly in an entirely new way. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great encouragement about the way the Father often moves us forward in our spiritual maturity. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for The Father's Counsel. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Mention the title, The Father's Counsel. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key. And there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.